Parry the Hammer with further review by Housecrafters. Housecrafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes exterior home services like roofing, siding, home additions, and much more. Call 716-646-NAIL.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Further Review Podcast for the Buffalo News. I'm Jay Skursky, joined by Perrin Keyes. And Perrin, I'm back from a harrowing drive up 79 north to the 90. That is not a fun winter drive for anyone who has made it, but we made it. We're back in Buffalo, and the Bills are back in Buffalo with a victory, a big victory, 8-4 now on the season after a 26-7 victory over the Steelers at Acrisure Stadium. I'm always going to call it Heinz Field, but Acrisure Stadium is the name now. Obviously, this one was a big game, Perrin, when you just look at the AFC playoff race, and we'll break down the standings later in today's show. But I think we just kind of talked before we went on air about what we wanted to discuss in this podcast. And for me, and I don't know, honestly, coming out of the game that maybe we even did enough on it. We got to talk about the defense. I mean, they allow 7 points. I think it was their most complete game of the season. And I particularly look at the run defense. I'm looking at the game book here, and the Steelers go for 58 yards on 18 carries. That's a season low on the ground allowed. And we know that has been such a problem issue for this defense really through the entirety of the season. And boy, it just makes a big difference when you can make a team one-dimensional. And the Bills certainly did that, really eliminating a pretty strong Steelers run game yesterday.
There's no doubt about it. Obviously, you know, first and foremost, it's a game they had to have. Difficult conditions, and you know, of course, like pretty much every other game this season, the Bills have been dealing with injuries. But boy, listen, Bills had 26 first downs in this game. The Steelers had 10. I don't have the drive chart in front of me, but I mean, it seemed like almost every single series was a three and out, or maybe a six and out, or something to that effect. You know, the only time Pittsburgh scored was, of course, on a short field. So, you know, what else can you say about the defense? You could not have worded it any more succinctly, Jay. It was simply put their best effort, certainly their best output of the season. You hold a team to 123 passing yards, no matter what conditions. 108 passing yards, 3.9 yards per play. That's gonna win you maybe not every game in the NFL, because you never know what happens, but that's gonna win you a whole lot. Holding to 3 of 9 on third down. And listen, the Boo Birds came out in Pittsburgh. I can't remember, somebody was saying on social media that Renegade, you know, the Steelers, the song that gets pretty much the equivalent of Mr. Brightside for the Bills fans, Renegade came on, and the crowd started booing Renegade. I mean, they were just in a foul mood because they were tired of seeing three and out failures, or close to three and out failures, time after time. And that is a credit to the Bills. They played well on deep shots. You had Trey White knocking down passes, and obviously Christian Benford had his best game of the season. You know, even without the takeaways. And you know, Shaq Thompson led the team in tackles, and we'll get a little bit more into that too about how well they did in managing injuries in this game. So there was a lot to like if you're a Bills fan, particularly as it pertains to the defense, which has taken its fair share and rightful fair share of criticism this entire season.
You know, I think we talked, Perrin, on the podcast last week about the defense and the four losses that this team has, and really how in three of those losses, I thought that the defense played well enough to give them a chance to win. Now, that is not saying that the defense has been, you know, some dominant unit this season. Certainly it has not. We know the issues, right? It's the run defense. It's, you know, they weren't taking the ball away for a while there. They did yesterday, and that was really big. You know, Christian Benford makes those couple of plays. Joey Bosa with the sack, fumble. Benford returns it for a touchdown. So they got big plays. They got back to kind of taking the football away, which has been such a big part of their defensive identity, really, for multiple seasons. But you mentioned the drive chart. Here it is for the Steelers. 12 yards, one first down. 6 yards, no first downs, three and out. 13 yards, one first down. 39 yards. That was their lone touchdown drive. So they only had to cover 39 yards on the lone touchdown drive. After halftime, 17 yards, minus 9 yards, 18, 9, 57 in garbage time when they ended up turning the ball over on downs when they were trailing by 16 points and then the end of the game. So, I mean, that is winning football for a defense, you know, and it was really a remarkable showing. And, you know, you mentioned, Perrin, the disdain, I think is probably the right word, from the Steelers fans and the booing, but it extended beyond that. I thought it was jarring hearing the how loud and clear the fire Tomlin chants were. You know, that's a guy that's won a lot of football games there in that stadium. And, you know, we're so Bills focused here, obviously, living in Buffalo, right, and covering this team day in and day out. And there's been, I think, a fair share of frustration, whether that be from fans or the media coverage, about the way that this Bills team has looked. Well, look around the league, right? There are teams that, and by the way, the Steelers are tied with the Ravens for first place in their division still. So there, I think, and again, we can talk about this when we, you know, look around the conference a little bit more later in the show, but the Steelers are a good example of every team has warts, right? Every team has flaws in the AFC. Yeah. We're seeing that more and more. And I, you know, to the Bills' credit though, let's just focus in on what they did. They took advantage of those flaws yesterday, the Steelers' offensive flaws, with a really great defensive performance. You do wonder, should Aaron Rodgers have been in the lineup with his wrist injury? Well, whatever. That's not the Bills' decision to make or to worry about. Aaron Rodgers was compromised, I think, and the Bills took full advantage of that defensively.
Harry the Hammer goes to work.
Harry the Hammer here from House Crafters, and I am one happy hammer. We just finished this addition and kitchen, and it's beautiful. Look at this place. It's gorgeous. If you have a remodeling project in mind, a kitchen, bathroom, or mother-in-law apartment, one call really does do it all at House Crafters. For a free estimate, call House Crafters at 646-NAIL.
Jay, over to the offense now. Listen. The offense did not get out of the gate, charging out of the gate, looking like the best version of themselves. They you could sense the frustration among Bills fans, I think, probably, who made the short drive down to this short but dangerous drive down to Pittsburgh. they were not too pleased to see, obviously, the two turnovers to start off. And I understand the Bills fans' frustrations with not seeing a lot of downfield passing. I know this sounds like revisionist history, but I honestly, and listen, if they'd have kept turning the ball over, they'd have been in a heap of trouble, okay? But I honestly thought that the game plan wasn't necessarily that flawed in the first half. The execution, certainly. My thought, Jay, here's what I'm getting to. And again, we'll touch on the injuries and just how well they manage these injuries in this game. But you've got your two starting tackles missing. And my thought was that if you're trying to go downfield and you want Josh Allen to go back on a seven-step drop or even in shotgun, you're scared to death, fairly reasonably so, you're scared to death that T.J. Watt's going to come off the corner and take Josh Allen's head off. So maybe that's why you didn't want to have a lot of long-developing plays going downfield and so forth. I understand, listen, this has been a season-long thing, and somebody else, I'm going to steal somebody else's line, you know, you're tired of watching the Bills go horizontal, right? If the sideline were the goal line, they'd be the most dynamic passing offense in the league. But you know, they were trying to, my guess is that they were trying to protect Josh Allen from getting a big hit, or they were concerned about a long-distance pass play. So they had to run the ball, and boy, did they run the ball in the particularly in the second half. And once you got out of your system, your best two players turning the ball over, Josh Allen and James Cook, you can't fault them for having the ball in their hands. Once that happened, boy, how about the offensive line? I mean, my goodness, you know, James Cook, you saw Ray Davis for the first time this year. They both moved the football on the ground, and that was the key to this whole thing, and might be the key to the whole thing for the Bills as they go forward.
Yeah, Perrin, it was an interesting game statistically. The number one stat that jumps out to me that I would consider the stat of the week in this game is the time of possession, 41-59 for the Bills to 18-01 for the Steelers. That is lopsided to a degree that you almost never see in the NFL. We talked about the drive start for the Steelers, or the drive chart for the Steelers in our first segment. Listen to the Bills' drive chart. Interception, punt, punt, fumble. That's their first four possessions. Then they go field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal. So 0 for 4 on the first, 4 for 4 in terms of scoring points on the second. So, you know, it's not quite a tale of two halves because they did get that field goal there at the end of the first half, but they come out and they score every time they touch the ball in the second half. You mentioned the run game. I mean, it goes without saying. 249 yards. The most ever given up by the Steelers in 50 years. 50 years. And actually, oddly enough, the team that held that record before was the Buffalo Bills and O.J. Simpson in 1975. But that speaks to the dominance of this run game. And, you know, we can talk a lot, and we have talked a lot, and we probably will moving forward, about the struggles of the pass game. And, you know, you mentioned going vertical, or not going vertical, right? Going horizontal in the pass game. And it was maddening in the first half to see it. You know, they just don't throw the ball down the field. But Josh Allen basically said that was the game plan, that they felt, and I understand where he was coming from with it, right? You don't want to take seven-step drops against T.J. Watt when you've got two backup offensive tackles in there. And I think it's a credit to the coaching staff that they say this is how we're going to win. And, you know, this is kind of what Lance Lysowski wrote about in his column in today's Buffalo News, is the physicality, right, that they brought to this game. And it goes for both sides, certainly, but I think more so on the offense when you talk about that rushing attack. And listen, Joe Brady was calling the same play over and over and over again. And that sometimes is a criticism of Brady, right? The predictability of the Bills' offense. But there's something to be said for, hey, if they can't stop it and they know what's coming, you know, just keep doing it, right? And, you know, T.J. Watt, and I'll censor myself here, but he called it a butt-kicking in all areas. And you know, when you've got a player like T.J. Watt, you know, talking like that about your offense and your offensive line, your running backs, I mean, Ray Davis, you mentioned it. We've seen nothing from Ray Davis basically all season, and there he is going for 60 yards on just 9 carries. So it was, you know, it's not the first time either. I mean, you go back to that game against Carolina, and they're putting up astounding numbers on the ground. And so, you know, this is an offense that right now is, I think, firmly in, and not just the offense, the team as overall is just find a way, right? Find a way to get a win. And if that means running the ball, then do it. And, you know, to their credit, yesterday they did it. Now, I will say that they did not play a perfect game offensively, and we have to acknowledge that. I mean, you can't turn the football over. They had 8 drives yesterday. That is not many. So they turned the ball over on 25% of those drives. That is a tough way to live. So they are, you know, if they are going to be this ball control style, they can't turn it over the way that they're turning it over, right? And so I think that's something that absolutely has to get cleaned up here moving forward for the offense. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to look at the positives, I think, and those would outweigh the negatives, at least offensively.
To your point, Jay, and this listen, they stayed on schedule. And when the Bills stay on schedule, they're going to be tough to beat on offense, no matter how you slice it. But they're going to be a run-first team. That's how they're going to have to win these games. And yes, as you go down the road, you're going to have to get more out of your vertical game. You're going to have to get more out of your passing game. And generally, the Bills' wide receivers had 5 catches in all on Sunday. And listen, that was the game plan, and it made sense in this game. But at some point, you're going to be able to have to get more out of your wide receivers than having Keon Coleman, your leading receiver, with 2 catches, your leading wideout in terms of receptions. So, yes, they've got a lot to work on still. But if they can do this in more games than not, they're still going to be tough to deal with as we go down the road. So as it relates to the game plan that the Bills put together, it was, as we discussed, it was predicated largely on the fact that they're starting 2 tackles, Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown, weren't available for this game. And so they had to rely on Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson. Ryan Vandermark said it himself. He had not played tackle since he was at UCLA in college. That's been quite a while ago. And boy, if they didn't get the job done, I don't know who else could have gotten the job done. On the other side of the ball, the defense Shaq Thompson, he led the team in tackles. I know we've said this before, on and off, he's been dealing with injuries too. But I don't know where the Bills' defense would have been without Shaq Thompson this season, just in general. And he filled in on Sunday for Terrell Bernard and had quite a game himself. He led the team with 9 tackles overall. So, again, this was a case of, listen, the Bills have been banged up, and that's an issue in and of itself in terms of why they're dealing with so many injuries. But they've been banged up all season. You know, one guy goes in, another guy comes right back out, that sort of thing. In this game in particular, managing injuries, particularly with the 2 tackles, Jay, was really a sight to behold.
Yeah, it certainly was. I'll just touch on Thompson real quick because you mentioned him. I think beyond just the production, it's the attitude that he's brought to the lineup and the nastiness that he plays with. He's a dog, and that's, you know, I know that's the kind of almost become a cliche, but you hear that a lot in the locker room. You heard it yesterday, actually, from Sean McDermott, but he really does play with an edge that I think this defense sometimes lacks. You know, I don't think Terrell Bernard has it. That's not to belittle Terrell Bernard or to take anything away from him. He is a fabulous football player in his own right. He's the defensive captain, but he plays with a different style than Shaq Thompson. And Shaq Thompson plays a little bit with more of an edge. And I think it's to the point now where if and when Terrell Bernard comes back, and he was not placed on injured reserve, so I expect that he will, sooner than later, I think they've got to find a way to get Shaq Thompson on the field a little bit more, whether that's replacing Milano, whether that's rotating in with Bernard. I just think that the way that he plays, the style that he plays, is what McDermott wants out of his defense. And, you know, you've heard Sean McDermott, say over and over, you've got to be nasty to play defense in this league. You know, I hear him talking about Greg Rousseau that way a lot, that he's looking for that. And Shaq Thompson, I think, delivers the mentality and kind of the style of defense that the Bills want to play. You mentioned, though, Vandermark and Anderson, and I think we've got to give them their due. This was probably the game, and I wrote this ahead of time when I, you know, talked with Ryan Vandermark, that if you were going to pick to not have your starting tackles, this would be the last game that you would pick, right? Because you got to deal with TJ Watt. You got to deal with, you know, this reputation that the Steelers have as being this defensive football team. Now, whether that's, you know, fair or not, or is maybe a little bit more based on reputation than actual fact, TJ Watt is a phenomenal player. And when you're talking about going up against backup offensive tackles, that is worrisome. And it's honestly, it's a big part of the reason why I picked the Steelers in this game. You know, we can talk about those, you know, those picks too, which have not been great. You know, I think that's just the Bills in general. They are not an easy team to pick right now. But anyway, I thought one of the coolest parts of yesterday's game was in the immediate aftermath. Sean McDermott made it a point to stand outside the locker room and greet every player on their way into the locker room. And you've probably seen this video by now if you're a Bills fan. If you haven't, seek it out. It's pretty cool. When Alec Anderson gets to McDermott, he actually lifts him up off the ground, right? And it's pretty funny to watch, but it speaks to kind of the nature of Alec Anderson. He is the first one to get in there and mix it up, right? And he is just kind of a bundle of energy all the time. And I know I'm kind of going in a lot of different directions with this answer, but for me, it starts with the coaching staff. Aaron Cromer, in particular, one of the best offensive line coaches in football. Getting those guys ready and coming up with the game plan with Joe Brady, with Josh Allen too, quite frankly, for that matter, is really a credit to those guys. They were ready for the moment, right? And when I say they, I mean Vandermark and Anderson, because again, that's not an easy opponent. And then you go to the players themselves. It was not a great start for Anderson. You know, he jumps offside, false starts twice in the first half. You know, those hurt drives, and the Bills, we talked about, you know, the giveaways on offense, the penalties too, like those are tough to overcome, especially for an offense that kind of lacks a big play passing game. You don't want to be doing those things. But to his credit, I thought Anderson really settled in, and, you know, and again, this is an area that Lance focused on in his column. You watch the reaction to the late hit on Allen that was not flagged by Patrick Queen, and I thought it was a late hit. I thought it deserved a penalty. Who's the first guy there? It's Alec Anderson, and that should surprise absolutely no one. So those guys, you know, when you go through the course of a season, you're going to deal with injuries. When you have players like those guys, Alec Anderson and Ryan Vandermark, not stars in this league, right? But they are big parts of that locker room. They are big parts of the fabric of that team. Their teammates love them. And so you feel good for guys like that when they can step into the lineup and get their opportunity and then follow through with it. All right, Perrin, and as we look ahead now to week 14 and a home game against the Cincinnati Bengals, which the scheduling gods shifted to 1 p.m. for us, which we like in the newspaper business, this game is a lot harder, I think, than it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the big reason for that being Joe Burrow is back for the Bengals. We saw him go into Baltimore on Thanksgiving night and lead a win for the Bengals against the Ravens. And if you were worried about this game from a Bills fan perspective after watching that, I think that's justifiable because Burrow is, in my mind, one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. We have seen him have success against this Bills team in the past. And I don't think Cincinnati's in a point where they're going to make some miraculous playoff push. But they are only two games back in the AFC North. And so they have things to play for. So, Perrin, you can weigh in on that, and then we'll also kind of kick it around the AFC. Obviously, we talked at the start about how big this win was for the Bills, and you look around the rest of the conference, particularly the teams in wild card positions. That's Jacksonville, they win. That's the LA Chargers, they win. And then the Houston Texans, who the Bills are a game ahead of, but who have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Bills, they win as well. And so the Bills needed this one to keep pace because that conference race is really tightening up, and you know they're going to have to keep stacking wins here.
They are. It's no rest for the weary, Jay. Because you know if you go by the letter of the law, so to say, right now as we sit here on a Monday, if the playoffs were, of course they don't, but if the playoffs were to start today, Buffalo would be the 7th seed because of tiebreakers and stuff like that. They're the 7th seed. So listen, there's no room, there's no margin for error here, particularly when you look at the teams behind them, the Texans, the Steelers, the Chiefs, probably not going to be able to make it through, but you can't count them out either. And they're all the way down at number 10. So, you know, you take that and then you sort of pivot and look ahead to this next week's game. And you know, as I say, no rest for the weary. Jay, you know, better than anybody, that the Bengals are not a particularly favorable matchup, or certainly haven't historically recently been a favorable matchup for the Bills. This, I will be shocked beyond words if the Bills hold their next opponent to 7 points, or that if this game is, 33-point total between the teams. This is going to be, we all know about the Bengals, sensational on offense. They're a sieve on defense and they have been for many years now. So you're going to have what your work cut out for you, Joe Burrow, just as you said, you know, discount him at your own peril. Jamar Chase, best wide receiver in the league, or if not, he's right there. He's top two. And T. Higgins, we don't know about him. I don't think, at least at this point, coming back from a concussion. But listen, they went into Baltimore on Thanksgiving night in a short week and put 32 points up on the board and slowed down the Ravens, who suddenly find themselves in a little bit of trouble, they and the Steelers. So listen, it doesn't get any easier. You want to talk about downfield passing, this is going to be a game probably where the Bills are going to have to show that they can throw the ball down the field. It makes me wonder if they can't do a little bit more play action maybe in a game like this, you know, particularly if the offensive line holds and maybe that allows for your receivers to get downfield, get open down deep into the secondary. The other thing I'll say, though, too, is that Josh Allen stayed on schedule this game. He hasn't always stayed on schedule. If we're going to be fair, we've seen over and over how he has he has bypassed the open receiver in the flat or on a crosser or something like that, trying to hit the home run ball. So they've still got a lot of way to go before they're out of the woods and in good standing for the playoffs.
Yeah, no question, Perrin. Just a couple quick thoughts on the Bengals. You know, I think the respect, the healthy, I would even call it maybe a fear amongst Bills fans is well-founded, right? And it's because you look at the history. You know, you go back to the divisional playoff loss a few years ago. Obviously, the situation that unfolded with DeMar Hamlin in Cincinnati and the start that the Bengals were off to in that game before that incident occurred. This has been a team that has given the Bills problems. And, you know, Jamar Chase, as you mentioned, you know, just a spectacular player. Burrow, this is a game that the Bills, and you know, we're going to be previewing it all week at BuffaloNews.com, myself and Lance and Catherine. This is a game that the Bills offense can't come out slow like it did against Pittsburgh. They have got to put it together. This is not a good defense. Now, you're going to hear from Sean McDermott and you're going to hear from Joe Brady later on today, and they're going to talk about the Bengals defense like it's the 85 Bears. It's not. Don't listen to that. Don't believe it. This is a bad defense that the Bills need to take advantage of. Before we wrap up, just a couple quick thoughts on the AFC race. Two games in particular that we got to point out. That is Baltimore-Pittsburgh for the AFC North lead this week coming up. The Bills hold the head-to-head tiebreaker on both of those teams. That's really big at this point. And then the other one, and it's a fascinating game, endlessly fascinating in my mind, is the Chiefs-Texans, right? Because you might say, and you could make a case that you'd actually want the Chiefs to win that game because the Texans have the head-to-head tiebreaker on the Bills and are only a game behind. The Bills are two games clear of the Chiefs with the head-to-head tiebreaker. However, you also might say that I want no part of the Chiefs making the playoffs if you're a Bills fan, and then you're rooting for the Texans. So really interesting. You know, the AFC North race is interesting. The AFC South race with Indy coming back to the pack is very interesting. Can the Bills make a run at the AFC East? They're going to need a lot of help. You look at New England here playing tonight against the New York Giants, solidly favorites. You know, you're probably not getting that help this game, at least. And so then, you know, you get look ahead to, you know, the following week and what do the Bills, what can the Bills do against the Patriots? In time, right? In time. We will get to that. We got to get to week 14 first and the Bengals. Perrin, you and I will be at Highmark Stadium next Sunday for that one. Looking forward to it as always. We will be back following the game against Cincinnati with our next edition of the Further Review podcast. Thank you so much for watching this one. For Perrin Keyes, I'm Jay Skirsky with the Buffalo News.
This is Harry the Hammer for Further Review by House Crafters. House Crafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes interior home services as well as windows and doors. Call 716-646-NAIL.